Our next man is on the record. I can't believe this tweet of his. This is like a landmark tweet. Let me read it again. The NFL helmet contact rule is by far the worst rule ever to be used in the history of football. It cannot, won't work. It's unfair and completely changes the way we're supposed to play tackle football. What group of clowns decided this was good for football? Blows, he writes. Ladies and gentlemen, you see him on television. He's a nationally syndicated radio host. His name is Sean Salisbury, former quarterback in this league. Sean, how you doing today?
Michael, I'm doing great. How are you, brother?
I'm doing okay. Now, you're not happy with this rule. Tell me why, and then I'm going to play the other side of it because I happen to believe it's a good rule, believe it or not.
Well, first of all, we've limited training camp practices so much that the first month of the season, most teams are so far behind offensively and defensively that it's sloppy football. I do understand safety. With all the concussions, this is a PR rule, dude. This isn't a rule for safety. It's a PR rule because guys are still going to. It's impossible. This ain't the Matrix where Keanu Reeves can jump out of a suspended tackle. Everybody puts their helmet to the side. You've seen it time and time again in the preseason. Go to the side, lead with the shoulder. The helmet hits the side of the guy's rib cage on the side of the helmet, and they call a penalty. This is not a protection penalty. We're going to sacks now. The sack by the Viking defensive end on the quarterback over the weekend. He sacked him, got up, didn't touch him, kept running. They called a personal foul on the sack. We've gotten to the point now, maybe they'll change it as or won't call it as close in the regular season. But this isn't a let's protect the helmet. You know what they're going to do and protect the head is that players are going to say, well, I'm going to get called for this anyway. So why don't I, go back to the Tom Brady, go low rule. You can't even leave with your face mask. We've been taught our whole life. I'm a quarterback, man, and the rule sucks. There was a quarterback. We've been taught.
Yeah, but see, you're an old school guy. You're an old school guy.
No. When you say old school, people say cocks. No, I'm not. I'm all for new change and making the league safer and better. But I'm also not for changing the integrity of the game. Look at even the players themselves, offense, defense. If you can't in the open field see what you hit and your face mask hits a guy's torso, that's a personal foul. But if you go wrap up, and your face mask happens, not the crown of your helmet. The face mask.
Well, that's the way they're calling it now, Sean. They're calling it now because they have to. They want to change the mindset. So what are they doing? They're going to overcall it. Obviously, they're going to overcall.
Why, Mike? Why do we do that? Why do we in spring training baseball, do we overcall a strike zone? Because we want the guys to say, well, it looks like it's extended now, but when we get to the regular season, we're going to go back. You got to hit a strike.
It's not the same thing. The strike zone is the strike zone. There's something wrong with the way you're launching yourself as a guided missile.
Then why don't we go to electronic strike zone at some point in time if the strike zone's a strike zone?
I'd be in favor of that. I'd be okay with that.
I'm not talking about the lead with the crown of your helmet, fly into the quarterback's back of his head. I'm not talking about the vicious, obvious ones. Come on, man. You're a smart football guy. You've been watching this. What about this rule is good? You're calling me in the preseason. You're saying that they're going to change it. So what are we all? We're teaching the guys, tackle the good way and in the preseason. And then when they call it against you, so the corner is supposed to, or the safety is supposed to say, well, they called the preseason. Now I got to kind of. We're going to get more injuries. Guys are going to come up a little tentative. They're not going to lower, and they're going to be run over. And then they're going to cause injuries. People are going to start saying, if I'm getting flagged for it, let me get my money's worth. So safety is one thing. Overboard, ruin the integrity of football. This is tackle football, man. It's violent, it's brutal, and at times it sucks. The dirty play's got to go. The good, clean play is called football, man. That's why we do it. It's not called put a flag on.
But see, here's Sean, there are two things that they have changed that also people got freaked out about. One, hitting the quarterback, and everybody, oh, you're going to change the game forever. We'll have to put the quarterback in a skirt, put a red jersey on him. And the other was the defensive receiver. Now, somehow football managed to survive even after those two things.
Football survived. At no point in time did I say football won't survive. I said it can become unwatchable at times. I didn't say it won't survive. Football's going to survive a national anthem, kneel or stand. Football's going to survive this rule. But the problem is that this isn't even players. It's not real football. Richard Sherman's of the world, the rest of them. You can't, we got enough points. We score a lot of points, man. The defense is already at a disadvantage. But if you're in the open field and you go up and make a form tackle and part of your face mask grazes his midsection, that's a penalty. So I never said it was going to end football.
The way I'm looking at it, there are two ways I'm looking at it. I don't see what's wrong with it with a rule that is going to promote safety first. I know you don't think it's a safety rule.
I'm on both sides of it, Mike. Come on. Mm-hmm. I am part of the concussion situation, I get. But there comes a point in time. The NFL, this is called a cover your ass rule. There's one, we can find a fine line in between where we're not so blatant where we let guys tee off and take three steps with the crown of your helmet and knock the piss out of a guy and send him on a cheap shot. And then there's the fine line of a form tackle. You've been taught since sixth grade Swickley, Pennsylvania. I ain't never been to Swickley, but it sounds like there's a good football team there. And since you've been taught head up, drive in, lead with your, don't lead with the crown of your helmet, see what you hit. So now we're getting called for penalties. We're sending the wrong message in the preseason. Oh, I know we flirt with rules. But now the referees aren't good enough how it is. I wouldn't want the job. I wouldn't want their job. They're better than I am. But giving them more to think about, judgment call, let's review this. Really, it's going to take betting, fantasy, gambling, health. This rule this preseason hasn't saved one concussion. And you and I both damn
right. Like I say, I'm looking at it like they're overcalling it. It's like when you were acted up in elementary school, Sean was a bad boy. You wrote it 1,000 times on the blackboard, and you weren't going to be a bad boy.
No, anymore. I didn't do that until I was 35.
All right. Now, interesting you brought up Swickley, Pennsylvania. You know who's from Swickley? The great Penn Chuck State Knox. Linebacker, Sean Conlin.
Right, and Chuck Knox used to always say that.
Shane Conlin, I'm sorry. Shane Conlin, yeah.
That's why I came up with Swickley, and I use it. Chuck would say, hey, Sean, don't give me that Brook Trout look like they did. Meaning, you know, that, oh, my God, what's going on? That Brook Trout looked like they did when I was coaching sixth grade Swickley, Pennsylvania.
Brook Trout look.
I always refer to Swickley when I'm talking about it. But I love safety, but I don't love players on defense getting hosed every time they line up.
All right, I got you. Now, we're talking to Sean Salisbury. Sean, let's talk about the quarterback situation here. Nate Sudfeld's look good in the preseason. Nick Foles and I look good. Buffalo needs a quarterback. If Buffalo calls the Eagles and says, give us Foles for number one, doing it?
Yes.
You would do it?
2 seconds flat.
2 seconds?
Yeah, you have to. Because you can tell they're priming Sudfeld to eventually, I mean, it's going to be a lot. He's never going to start there because Carson Wentz, but to continue to get more reps. Now, listen, we know what Nick Foles did. I don't need to document that. The one thing about Nick that we all know, I think, aside from being a great guy, and he came through with one of the great performances in the postseason ever. When Nick's good, he's off the charts. When Nick's bad, he ain't very good. He didn't play very good last game. I mean, and the defense has given up almost 70 points. Things are going to get better. It's not their start. I'm not worried about Philadelphia as an overall thing. But with Carson and when he's going to come back and Nick and Sudfeld playing well, if somebody were to call, Buffalo is going to call and say, we'll give you a number one, you got to do it. If you had a number four or a three, now I'd say, no, we're good right now, especially with Carson unhealthy and the experience Nick Foles brings and the lack of experience that Sudfeld brings. But they'll get it fixed, and I believe Carson will be fine. But in the meantime, and we talked about this last year, Mike, remember, it's going to be desperation. If somebody calls desperate and is willing to give a number one up, you cannot for 1 second pass that up, especially since Sudfeld's performing so well. At least gives you a little bit of a security to say, could he hold it over for two games like Nick or three games like Nick could in the regular season until Carson's back. And I think we're starting to find out that Sudfeld's a pretty decent player and just needs more reps. I have a lot of respect for Nick Foles. He can go help a team like Buffalo, but if you're Buffalo, why would you give up the number one? You drafted Josh Allen number one, go play him. So go play him. Go get a guy you can train, a younger guy or some other veteran that's there to hold it down. But I wouldn't give up the number one for Nick Foles. That'd be nuts if you're Buffalo.
Unless
you
think they can make the playoffs, and then you do it.
Well, yeah, but that'll be one of those teams every year. You have the one that made it, the one that didn't. The Buffalo Bills are one that isn't going to the playoffs this year. That's not good.
All right, last question. And you know, you've experienced studying football teams for a long time. Are the Eagles this year susceptible to the Super Bowl slog, which means will they get back, in your opinion?
I trust their toughness. I trust the coach. And remember, the quarterback, while he got him to December, when he comes back, he didn't get that. Even though he was part of it, you still don't wear the ring. Of guys that I've talked to, I don't have a Super Bowl ring. Of guys that I've talked to, if you're not playing in that game or in those class, you almost feel like I still got something to do. So I think that his presence of not playing in the postseason will not allow those guys to get fat and happy. I trust the Eagles. This is a great football team and that they're so well coached. But there is the tendency, human nature. We got one. I don't think the hangover kind of bothers me because these are pros that want more. We all want more. But there is a tendency to, you know, they were always on edge last year. The question is, and I don't know, the preseason, they haven't looked very good, but it's preseason. I don't give a rat's ass about preseason. What I care about is health and how quickly you adjust in the regular season. Not only the rules, but get back that game tempo, because training camp ends so quickly and we don't get to hit as much. So how quickly they get back to being physical, that'll tell it. But I don't think this is going to be a team you're going to see go 7-9. They're clearly, in my mind, the favorite in the East. But there's human nature says, we've got one. Breathe a sigh of relief. Mm-hmm. I like them on edge. If they're able to stay on edge, the Philadelphia Eagles won't go away. And they got to get, you know, the big fella number 11 healthy. But they're going
to
be okay.
Do you believe that they're going to have to go on the road to win the NFC title?
I do, this year. Okay. I do believe that this year, it'll be close, but look, start looking at an easier division, even though people say, well, the Cowboys, Giants, and Redskins aren't as good. I wouldn't overlook Alex Smith there, and the Cowboys playing a little bit better, and Eli having a little bit of a, you know, rejuvenation. I think it's going to be tougher than people think, but I would think that the home field advantage is going to come out of somewhere like the Rams or something, because Seattle's not very good. The Arizona Cardinals are iffy. And who am I leaving out?
Saints, Minnesota.
In the West.
In the West.
Cardinals, Rams, Seahawks. And who did I leave out? Why am I losing my mind? Who's the fourth team?
Losing my mind, too.
In the NFC West. Who are we leaving out in the NFC West?
The 49ers.
Obviously.
The 49ers.
Yeah, the 49ers. They'll be better with Jimmy. Mm-hmm. But I bet the Rams are going to win that. But Saints, tough division in the South. The Vikings, tough division with Aaron Rodgers back. And the Bears will be improved. And Matthew Stafford. I think that we could see a Rams team, if they're on edge as well, win 11 or 12 games, but it's going to be tough to get to 12 wins. It's always tough when you're the one being chased as opposed to the person doing the chasing.
Yep, I got you. Sean, always a pleasure to talk to you, man.
I love the banter and the battle, and again, congratulations on a fun football season. I can't wait till it starts again for the Eagles and the NFL. Thanks, brother.
All right, man. We'll talk to you. There he is, Sean Salisbury.